Hi, Sander. How are you? Happy New Year. And is your boss in the Hall of Shame?
A couple of them were, and a very healthy and productive New Year wish for you, Jill.
Thank you.
So we're talking about the Hall of Shame. This came from a friend of mine. I love what he wrote. So here is. He says that hating the boss is practically a national pastime. About 50% of people have trouble with their bosses. So you can expect that about half the time, and maybe right now, you'll have a boss you don't like. There's no shortage of examples in the bad boss Hall of Shame. Love that Hall of Shame. Anyway, so here they are. Here's an example of the bosses that, you know, in that Hall of Shame. One is called Two-Faced Tony, who promises you the promotion is in the bag. But when the call comes for a staff meeting, you are cutting the congratulations cake for a coworker who landed your new gig. Two, Insincere Irene, who in the 5 years you've worked together has never asked about your family. At this year's holiday party, she called your spouse by the wrong name, even though they've met several times before. Next, Colin the Clueless, who asks, how was your weekend? And keeps walking as you sadly explain that you put down your beloved dog last night. Colin's reply is, so when does the meeting start? 10 o'clock or 11? Next, do as you say, Donna, who demands FaceTime in the office of everyone 5 days a week, but work from home starting on Thursdays to beat the weekend traffic. Next, Ron the Reliable, who has been promising your annual performance review will be next week for the last 3 years. And finally,
I know all of these people.
Finally, Snake in the Grass Stanley, who to your face says, don't sweat it. You're golden here. Then as word of layoffs filter through the office, you overhear him on a call saying your name and the words, he's toast. Okay, so, you know, these are the members of the Hall of Shame. Anyway, so spending one day more with a boss like this is about as welcome as a lump of coal in your holiday Christmas stocking. So, you know, what do you do? If you're like most people, you'll quit. The fact is people don't leave jobs, very important. They leave bosses. We've discussed this a lot. But, you know, in this case, but not so fast. If you make a hasty career move, the grass may not be much greener in the next place. And it's better to take control of your job search. So here are some things to think about. Okay? Your bad boss is a good teacher. Your experience at work, the good, the bad, and I'd rather not talk about it, account for about 70% of your professional development. Another 20% comes from people you interact with, and that includes your bad boss. Only 10% is from formal training. Now, enduring a bad boss is a crash course in how not to act and how not to treat people. Lesson number one, don't be a jerk. You learn more about the importance of compassion and integrity from enduring a bad boss than you will from being a good boss every day. You can only change yourself. Whether your boss is only a bumbling or outright miserable, you can find a way to rise above it. Since you are the only one who can change, you need to address your own attitudes and behaviors. You need to dissect the problem. Not to assign blame or seek vindication for how unfairly you've been treated. Pinpoint the problem and its cause so you can find the solution. And here's the good news. No matter what the problem turns out to be, you hold the solution. You know, you aren't the center of your boss's universe. Remember that. your boss has a lot to think about than just you. There are too many people, projects, and priorities that need to be managed. As a result, if your boss is busy with her or his own projects or feeling frustrated about something else, you could be encountering that moody trickle-down effect that had nothing to do with you. That happens a lot, of course. And, okay, it could be you. As much as you believe it's not me, it's the boss, objectively, is your friend, especially if your boss' relationship has changed recently. Perhaps you're perceived as a threat to your manager's authority or position, or perhaps you took a little too much credit in the last team win. Maybe the boss is paying a little too much attention to you, and your boss feels that you're playing politics. Happens a lot, Jill, by the way. It happened to me at one of my jobs when the boss was paying too much attention to me, and my boss got very upset. Okay, finally, communicate. The breakdown in almost any relationship has to do with communication. With any boss, the bulk of communication should center on what needs to be done and how you can make that happen. Above all, make sure you're performing. If you're unhappy with your boss, it's easy to become passive-aggressive and decide that whatever the boss wants can wait. Bad move. Stay focused on the team's priority, especially in the very short term. So anyway, the one thing that our listeners learn, or they probably know from experience, it's never about you. It's never about you. It's about him or her, your boss, making them look good. If you don't, you're done. So that's really key. It's never about you. It's about them, making them look good. Okay?
When you do, just a quick thing. When you are doing your graduate students, how do you teach them that? Because so many people are more focused on it being about them.
Sure.
And it takes it's almost as though you have to deal, as you come up, you do have to deal with some, let's call them interesting or idiosyncratic people. You know, there's no chance that the path in front of you is going to be completely, like open highway in Kansas. Not going to happen.
You're right.
So it's less about, and I have watched, younger people, and even people who should be more adroit at this, really get themselves, get their feelings really bad. It becomes personalized in a way where, if there could be a little bit of detachment and understanding, if you look at it more like, well, that's a chess piece there. But it has all become so personal. And I'm just wondering if there's a way to encourage people to just take a step back, because that it's not about you. And the person can be, people are put in positions that they have no business being in, but that doesn't alter the fact that you have to deal with them.
Well, that's very true. I have that in my books, by the way. Oh, by the way, one of my books, The Best Thing That Ever Happened to You, Amazon called me when I was away. They're going to do a special on air for The Best Thing That Ever Happened to You at a very reduced price.
Wow, that's great.
So Amazon, really liked the book. So anyway, so you have to be, so be of good cheer. These situations don't last forever, and you'll move on wiser and have more experience to deal with these situations. But, to your question, it's in all of my books. It's never about you. It's about your boss making her or him look good. Well, you're dead. I mean, it's over. If it's about you and you're taking all the credit in big presentations when the big boss is there, you're done. They will find a way to get rid of you, no matter how smart you are. You're gone. So one piece of good advice for our listeners. Oh, all right?
And the thing about being just really knowing that if you can make it about them and not about you, you're going to end up with far more maneuverability over what happens. And where as if you're always looking at it through the lens of, but this is what's happening to me, this is what's happening to me, you know, and immediately reacting, it's just gonna be that much harder.
Correct. Your boss will always come to you first, and not the one who starts at the meeting. It's about me. Never, 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 never. Okay? It just doesn't happen that way. That's about it, listeners.
Thank you very much, Sandra Flaum, Leader's Edge.